Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is a super hungover Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
No, I don't drink. I'm not hungover.
Ah, you said you were at a bar, so late last night you got home at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, but I wasn't drinking.
Yeah, sure. I think we're probably both hungover for different reasons this morning.
Why are you hungover?
Well, I'm hungover because I celebrated one of the most glorious moments in world history.
Yeah, truly, I think maybe the highlight of your life.
Yeah. I mean, I hope my wife doesn't hear that, but I think that's accurate.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say like top five is probably getting married, your three sons being born, and the four-way trade. But the four-way trade is number one. The other things are just in the top five.
Yeah. Well, as I said to the people in my fantasy league, like, okay, having like the birth of my child was more significant. I'm not going to deny that. But what did I really do to earn that? Like, I had sex once 9 months earlier.
Right. Congrats.
I didn't really do that.
Yeah. No, very little. Very
yeah.
little.
Like, I graduated from law school. What did I do? I hung out, you know, around Boston for 3 years.
Yeah, no, that's awful. I think, to me, it's like you knew when your kid was going to be born, like you knew like a few days before. I'm like, all right, this kid's going to be born. Like,
and also, wait, hold on. There's another thing. Like, you know who's produced a child and had given birth to a child? Everybody on Earth.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Everyone has kids. Like, you could have kids all day long.
Yeah.
But nobody's made a four-way fantasy football trade before.
I don't think it's ever happened in the history of the world. I mean, people said it was impossible.
They said it would never be done. I will say there is an asterisk next to this trade.
Why?
Because looking at it, it almost looks like it was a four-way trade for the sake of being a four-way trade.
In terms of what?
I see the fourth name here basically traded one guy on the waiver who should be on the waiver wire for two other people who should be on the waiver wire.
Well, no, because this is a two-quarterback league. So he was clutch. The trade couldn't happen without him. And you're saying he traded Joe Flacco. That's the only guy he gave away.
Yeah, he got nothing back. He got back guys who shouldn't even be on the waiver, who should be on the waiver wire in a 14-team league, basically.
No, he got the number one wide receiver on San Francisco, a team who's about to switch to Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback.
Oh, so he's buying low on Marquise Goodwin?
No, well, okay, first of all, okay, so Flacco doesn't have any value unless you need a quarterback for that 1 week, right?
Obviously, so you should, yeah. But I'm saying...
So he was getting rid of a guy who has no value to him, and he got two guys who, you know, Mike Wallace is averaging like 10, 11 points a game in the last 4 or 5 weeks, other than when he was injured. So, you know, he's whatever, he's passable. And then Goodwin's another like passable receiver.
This whole trade looks shady. You gave up, I see, Tyrod Taylor, who is a QB2 this year. Is not really.
No, he's not. He's ninth in the league this year, and he was seventh in the league last year.
He's had one game this year in the 20-point range.
I mean, overall, he's ninth in the league this year.
He's consistent, but he never puts
He's a consistent top 10 quarterback. He's not elite. He's not a top 5 quarterback, but he's a top 10 quarterback year in, year out.
Jerick McKinnon, who you're selling high on, but has been very good this year.
Yeah. I mean, he's scored under 20 points once since he got the job.
And some real mediocrity. Wallace Kroft, who's, you know, everyone in who plays fantasy football's own Tyler Kroft this year when their tight end has a bye. And Darkwa. And you got back Devonta Freeman, who's a real RB1.
Well, hold on. Orleans Darkwa in the last 6 weeks has more attempts than Devonta Freeman, has more yards than Devonta Freeman.
Well, then you should have kissed Darkwa.
He has more touchdowns than Devonta Freeman, and is third in the league in yards per carry in the entire NFL.
I tend to think that team is one in a million, and Wayne Gallman's going to end up getting a lot of carries soon, probably.
All right. I mean, but Darkwa's been their number one running back.
And you got McCown, who's a useful player this year.
Yeah.
Flacco, who's, you know, a quarterback. I assume you need him to start 1 week or to be your backup.
Just McCown's on bye, yeah.
And then you got three good receivers: Amari Cooper, Larry Fitzgerald, Chris Hogan.
Well, no, I got three name receivers.
I mean,
Amari Cooper has scored in double digits once all season. Yeah. He had 40 points against the Chiefs.
But listen, he still has a quarterback. Half the teams in the league don't, so he has upside.
Amari Cooper had 3 weeks in a row where he had single digit yardage.
No, he's bad. I mean, he was bad, but he's still a wide receiver.
No, but he has potential.
Larry Fitzgerald,
who's very good with Palmer, when Palmer's not there,
and Hogan will be healthy in 2 weeks, and he's a wide receiver too, also.
Hopefully. Yeah, hopefully. And Hogan was a guy who was a nobody in the beginning of the year. And then in September and October, he was scoring a touchdown every week. But he still hasn't had more than 78 yards in a game all year. So he's totally touchdown dependent. But yeah, I got three guys who hopefully will all be starting receivers.
Anyways, to combine the two things that we were doing. So you came into the live Seinfeld show last night, and it's all you were talking about. You came over to me. I was very busy. You really eight different times tried to tell me about this trade while I was trying to set stuff up. Yeah.
People said, I met so many listeners. It's shocking how many of them are normal people.
Yeah, very normal.
I can't say that for the hosts. I met Mike Clark, and he's like, hey, how's it going? And I'm like, I'm working on a four-way fantasy football trade.
Yeah, a lot of people said that's what you were talking about.
Yeah, I was basically a cliche version of myself last night.
Yeah, but, and right, you literally had your laptop out during the show, which, like, if there was only one person who had a laptop out during this.
Yeah, and a few people asked me what I was doing, and I said I'm working, which was true, but not exactly in the way they thought.
So you weren't even listening to our podcast?
No, because it's going to be recorded. I'll hear it later.
You really were listening. What a bastard. That's why when it came your turn to ask questions, you kind of flopped.
Yeah, because I was like totally busy. And then Amir just puts a microphone in my face. He's like, here, ask a question. I was like, what? I was totally unprepared.
Oh, yeah. Well, you didn't come with questions. I mean, you really tanked.
No, I did come with questions.
Rob told me he saw the biggest eye roll he ever saw in his life during your question.
Swing and a miss.
You had a good time at the live show.
But you're going to edit that out, right?
No, definitely not. You had a good time at the live show, right?
you're going to edit out some of the other comments, right?
Nope, it's going in. The whole thing's going in.
No, you told me some things are being edited out.
Now, listen. Do you
what about the Roy Halladay joke, by the way? That was too soon.
That's not canon. That never happened. Wait, hello? Yeah.
Speaking of Roy Halladay, did you see what our friend Michael Friday tweeted about Roy Halladay?
No, what are you giving everyone free publicity for?
I'm just gonna say I don't know. I'm not gonna go near with
follow, the Michael Friday's not on Twitter. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he's stolen the account of some guy who was on Survivor or something. Ben Wade.
That's not necessarily him. How do you know it's him?
What do you mean? That is Michael Friday.
How do you know?
Because the picture is of Michael Friday. The Twitter bio is a link to Michael Friday's Instagram account.
Oh, well, allegedly. You have to say allegedly.
Well, because everything with Michael Friday is alleged.
Yeah. He may not even exist. Yeah. We're still not sure. The only thing we know about him is he played two minutes of high school basketball. You had a good time, though, at the live show? Yeah, the listeners were very nice. A lot of people were talking about 32 fans, and they're excited about 32 fans.
A lot of people asked me why you didn't give it a shout-out at the end of the podcast, but I said, well, actually, I think it's Rob who always asks you what's happening this week.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, we did. You know, there's a lot of balls in the air. I could have plugged it, but listen, everyone in that room probably knows. People came from out of town. It was wild. That guy Nelson.
Dan, the benefactor, flew in from San Francisco.
Dan, Sean Falconer also flew in from San Francisco.
Sean Falconer, I didn't get to meet him.
You didn't meet? Oh, damn. That's bad. Oh, well, no. He's in the city. You could hit him up today if you want to.
Who else did I meet? I met Jake Larson.
Jake Larson.
I met Zach Brooks. Zach Brooks is wearing a green shirt to be very identifiable as a Michigan State fan.
Yeah, he is always repping the MSU. Yeah.
I met Millennial Max. He was sitting right behind me, actually.
Yeah, Millennial Max. Yeah, I didn't know he's in New York. Yeah, a lot of people. Well, it was. Yeah.
I feel bad because there's others, and now I'm forgetting.
Good, there was a lot of people. A lot of our friends showed up. Yeah, we had a very good crew. A lot of people. Full.
Yeah, Av said to me he hadn't seen me in years.
Yeah, he said that to me too. He's like, Av said to me the last time I've seen you, and Av, a friend of both of ours, listened to all 180 episodes of the Seinfeld podcast in the last 49 days.
It's insane. And in the last week, he listened to
season 8 and 9. Like, yeah, crazy. I meant to shout him out. There were so many things that I didn't have any notes.
Oh, I met Jared Jerome also.
Jared Jerome I'd never met. I met
Ellie Rosenzweig.
Ellie Rosenzweig.
I met so many guests of our podcast.
A lot of guests.
Yeah, I saw Jordan Kalish, another former guest of ours I met in person.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. Some people were really upset to see you, but and avoided you. But other than that. Yeah. But there were people there. I was like, afterwards, I'm like, I never met them. They kind of left without seeing me.
Well, yeah, and I felt bad. By the way, let me ask you a question. If you were to tell your wife, or if somebody else was to tell your wife, because she probably wouldn't believe you, that there was literally like some girls there, some women there, lining up to take photographs with you, well, how would she react?
I mean, she would feel bad for them. Like, she would just assume, I think she just assumes we're all like a bunch of weirdos. I don't know.
I mean, I was going to try and like explain that to Jen, but she would have just accused me of being a liar, and then she wouldn't believe anything I've ever told her about anything.
No, explain it to Jen. I want to see if Jen believes you. Can you tell her tonight?
I can't lose my credibility.
Well, we've already had a couple arguments with Jen. I had one.
Yeah, you and Jen are on the outs. Right now.
We are very much on the outs. I had one really good line prepared.
Me and Mara are all the way on the ins.
Listen, take I had one. One really good joke about my friend brought his girlfriend, and I was going to say. Like, I was going around the room, was talking about some of the people that were in the room, some of the, auspicious guests. And I was going to say, like, my friend Andrew's here, which I said. And then my other friend Andrew brought his girlfriend. And I was going to get into how, like, this Seinfeld podcast in this, like, darkly lit room, because the lights went out right before everybody came, discuss whether, like, this is a good, like, early date place. And I was going to say, like, this is more like a place you bring your girlfriend when you want to break up with her. Which,
or murder her, actually.
Right? Or actually, like, go to the back room and like leave her body or something. Like that. Yeah, I do think. And then like the girlfriend comes over afterwards and was like, "You and like talking to me, like me and her boyfriend are like very similar." Like that's never a good sign. like, hear me podcast right now and have me like, oh yeah, my boyfriend is a lot like you. And we look alike.
Were they still dating at the end of the show though?
When they left, they were left together, but I can't imagine by like Friday they'll still be together.
Yeah. All right. So shocking development all around.
But you thought that person never had a girlfriend before, so.
No, I never said that.
By the way, when you tell your wife that people are trying to take pictures with me that she won't believe, tell her that you know, our friend brought a normal looking girl to the show also.
Yeah.
She's not going to believe it.
My wife will feel more bad for her than she'll feel for the women who are taking pictures.
Oh, no question. No question.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into the business at hand. But thank you, everyone who came. It was so much fun.
Okay. So the business at hand is we're supposed to be ranking the coaches this week.
Yeah.
And you forgot to make your rankings.
I don't forget. I'm kind of like swamped.
All right. But we do have Mike Clark had posted on the Facebook group.
Okay. So you want to average?
I'm going to reference his rankings.
You'll reference his?
No, I'm not going to average his.
I'm a coach's guy. I'm all about the coaches. So.
Yeah. All right. So we'll jump right in that way. And that's how we'll go. All right. So we're going to start at number 32. He was number 32 in my preseason ranking. He has done nothing to improve on that. That's Chuck Pagano.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason at this point to think he's a good coach. I think every other coach in the league has a higher upside than him, and he's going to get fired very soon. And, you know, who knows? Maybe a team is going to go out there like Denver, probably, and steal Andrew Luck from the Colts this offseason.
Yeah, well, Jim Irsay seems to think that Andrew Luck has brain problems. So.
Yeah, he's got brain problems. To me, there's a no-brainer. You can't, you know, you could argue maybe someone's worse, but you can't argue that Pagano's decent, so this is fair.
Yeah, and Mike Clark has been 31 because he has my 31 at 32, so there's a swap there, and that's Ben McAdoo.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, maybe, you know,
have
McAdoo.
Have you ever seen a worse moment for an NFL coach than that interview question where he was asked what he said to his players at halftime and he sat there awkwardly for 30 seconds?
Yeah, I mean,
how do you not get fired immediately after that press conference?
I mean, in McAdoo's defense, ironically, the first two coaches we've mentioned have winning records. Pagano has an excellent record, right? He's almost 60% winning percentage. And McAdoo still has a winning record as a coach, amazingly.
Yeah, but he won't by the end of this season.
No. How does he even have a winning record as a coach? How's that possible?
Yeah.
Where
are your numbers from?
No, so this is not updated. I mean, if they went 11-5, he still has a 500 record.
Yeah, I had McAdoo 23 in the preseason, so I didn't like him, but, you know, obviously I didn't think he was this
bad. They're missing a couple losses for the Giants, so he doesn't have a winning record anymore.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is, and we'll get to Mike Lombardi in a second, but Mike Lombardi has had it out for McAdoo and Doug Peterson forever. You really bought into the, even though you don't like Lombardi, you bought into the Peterson thing because you picked Peterson third in your in our bet about which coaches would get fired a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. I mean, obviously.
And he's going to be a coach.
Yeah, no, he's not getting fired.
Yeah, but McAdoo is for sure getting fired. There's no chance he has a job.
Yeah, no, McAdoo. The Giants are the type of organization that are not going to put up with an embarrassing season like this. They're too classy. Can I tell you one funny thing somebody said to me, by the way, that I just thought of?
Yeah.
A person who was a little inebriated, very nice lady, came over to me at like an after party and said, this person I think was from Middle America. So maybe they're not used to the types of people who walk around Manhattan. And so she said to me, what's the Jewish holiday that all these men are outside walking around with yarmulkes?
Make fun of people who aren't experts in your religion, Akiva. Way to go. you know, by the way, I got to say, The Seinfeld podcast that I've been on record the last few years when we rank our podcast at the end of the year has been my favorite podcast for the last, notwithstanding your presence on it, my favorite podcast of the last like 4 years running.
Yeah. So what's going to be your favorite podcast in 2018?
Year in, year out. But yet, nevertheless, I don't think, with maybe one exception, I don't think I've ever, while listening to it, laughed out loud, like literally LOL. Now, and part of this might just be the function of, you know, listening to comedy in home versus, you know, going to a comedy club.
Uh-huh.
But last night, there were many LOLs.
Yeah, there were a bunch of laugh out loud. Yeah, that's what made me happy.
Yeah, that's good lines.
There were some good jokes in there. Rob's cake boss impression was really, really funny and got like a huge laugh from the room.
Yeah, now I'm embarrassed. I have no idea what you're talking about. I must have been doing train negotiations.
He got a massive laugh. He did a really good cake boss impression.
I don't know what Cake Boss
is. Cake Boss is like a character on the Food Network, but he did his voice like really well, and like it got like a double laugh, like a really big laugh.
Oh, feel bad. Sorry, Rob. I wasn't paying attention, and I didn't get it. But listen, I'm going to listen to the podcast. How many of the people who are there are going to listen to it when it gets released?
Oh, just you. Probably just you. I mean, maybe someone who wants to see like, oh, that was a train wreck or something. But yeah, mostly just you. All right. So who's number 30?
All right. So just hold on. So winners and losers last week, we tied. So that's now we've 3 weeks. You won, 3 weeks. I won, and 3 weeks have been tied this year. Although you're two games up on me overall. Pittsburgh at Indiana. Obviously, we're both picking Pittsburgh. The Giants at San Francisco. This is a game where you want to lose for draft consideration. Who are you picking in that game?
Yeah, it's tough, right? I mean, I if the Giants are trying hard, they're better than the Niners with Beathard.
I think San Francisco wants to lose because then they want to go into their bye and then announce Garoppolo next week. If San Francisco were to win with
Beathard, the players don't want to lose. I don't like when people say that. The players are never trying to lose. It's the organization.
Yeah, they want to go to Garoppolo after the bye. So if CJ Beathard were to win this week, that might actually throw a wrench in their plans.
Yeah, I mean, he'd have to play really well. I think they're going to Garoppolo. I think they're just being kind to Beathard, who's probably their, you know, they might view him as their long-term backup.
On the NFL, like on the 49ers official website, on the article when they drafted CJ Beathard, the quote in the article was, he's going to be a really good NFL backup.
That's funny.
Which is not what you want to say the night you draft your third-round quarterback.
But he does have a backup look. I do agree. I think he's competent enough that he's probably going to be in the league for a long time.
Yeah, but like that's not supposed to be like the upside of your third-round draft pick.
No, of course. Oh, was he the third round? I thought it was a fifth round pick. That's actually really bad for a third round pick. Yeah.
Okay, wait. So who are you picking that game? I'm going to pick San Francisco just because it's funnier.
No, I'm going with the Giants.
Okay. All right. So we got a disagreement there. That's good. All right. Number 30 is Marvin Lewis. That's where he was in the preseason. He has not moved up or down for me. There's nothing to say about him. It's the same story year after year.
Wild underachievement.
So he should be lower than McAdoo or Pagano?
No, but I'm saying it's just like he's, you know, he used to be an okay coach who just underachieved a little bit. And now they're just, you know, an atrocity and he needs to get better.
Yeah, they lose in the first round of the playoffs every year. And now 2 years in a row, they're not even getting close to the playoffs.
Right. I mean, that team is too good to be where they are right now. There's too many good players.
Yeah. It's not a good situation. Mm-hmm. It's depressing if you're a Bengals fan because, well, they're going to Tennessee this week. I assume they're going to lose, right?
Yeah, they're probably going to lose. I mean, they're just wasting, like, you know, Dalton's prime, if that is a thing. AJ Green's prime. They have, you know, 18 different competent running backs, and they have some good players on defense, and they can't put it together.
Yeah. All right, number 29, and he's dropped 5 spots for me since the preseason, and probably he should be even lower, but, you know, there's so many bad coaches in this league. Dirk Cutter.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay's 2-6.
Everyone we've discussed so far has got to go. This has been an embarrassing season. I mean, Jameis has had major health problems. I don't want to pin it on Jameis. I do think he's basically been not healthy most of the year.
Jameis just makes like 3 or 4 atrocious decisions a game, and he did this in college also.
Yeah.
He has the physical skills to be a quarterback. He has the leadership skills, notwithstanding his ridiculous pregame messages about eating W's. But he makes such bad decisions. He just makes terrible throws every single game. There's been no and that's got nothing to do with injury.
Traditionally 9-7, and then let's say they go 4-12 this year, which is looking very possible. Does that get you fired? I think it doesn't. I think if you go 9-7, you go 4-12. I think historically you.
But there was so much hype about.
Yeah, but I think historically you get the third season. But to me, you know, I might. There's just nothing I've ever seen from Cutter that makes me think he's a good coach. So I would cut bait on Cutter. Or the first four guys I think have got to go that we've talked about.
Yeah, he was not drafted, by the way, in our draft.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, again, they went 9-7. He really needed to go 4-12 to even, like, almost get fired, and that he might be doing that.
Your Jets are going into Tampa this week. Are they going to pull off another
win? Yeah, I think I don't know the line, but if I had to guess, it's a pick 'em.
I had guessed that it would be Tampa by 3. According to Bill and Sal, there was no line on this game, I guess, because of Jameis. But the line I had seen was Tampa by 1.5.
Yeah. Someone asked me right like when he got hurt what would the line would be next week, and I thought it would be a pick 'em to Bucks minus 1. Bucks minus 1 with a gun to my head. What is it?
Well, I said it. It was 1.5.
It was 1.5?
Yeah, so you would have beaten me. You would have won. Too bad you didn't guess the lines this week.
No. Yeah, but to me, the Jets should be favored. I just think, objectively, the Jets have been better the last few weeks, and you know, Fitzpatrick stinks, and you know.
Well, so here's the interesting thing about Fitzpatrick. So this actually, I looked this up. I looked up Fitzpatrick because somebody was saying, oh, the Jets know Fitzpatrick really well, so he's in trouble.
I don't think that means, no, I think that's meaningless. It's a different.
So I looked up Fitzpatrick's numbers against his previous team, like the next year.
Yeah.
So in other words, he was in Buffalo, then he was in Tennessee, Houston, Jets, etc.
Right, you can only look up stats like that for like Fitzpatrick and Josh McCown.
Yeah. Fitzpatrick against his former team, and not like years later, but you know, right afterwards, 6-2. With 265 yards per game, 12 touchdowns, 4 interceptions.
How does he have so many games against former teams? Is it divisional teams?
Because he switched every single year, and for some reason, when he went from Houston to Tennessee to the Jets, each of those teams played the previous team the next year.
He's played the team he played the previous year 8 times.
No, I did the previous 2 years.
Oh, okay, fine. That's still a lot. Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, he's 6-2, 12 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, basically MVP caliber numbers.
Okay.
So Fitzpatrick actually seems to know his former team. So I think Fitzpatrick is going to light up.
Right. It makes more sense the other way, right? That he knows what the defense does because he's gone up against it in practice, especially it's the same coaches.
Well, anyway, so I am picking Tampa to beat the Jets.
Okay. I don't think so, but, you know, maybe.
Okay, good. We got another disagreement. That's the goal of this cooperation. But yeah, Dirk Cutter, neither one of us picked him in that draft, but he's got to go.
Yeah, bye, Dirk. All right, who's next? Yeah.
Okay, that brings us to number 28. the biggest dropper so far on our list, Hugh Jackson. I had him at 16 in the preseason.
Yeah, a lot of people thought, well, it's not him. And now I think, you know, it is him. And the team is a disaster. Yeah.
Like, your team has to win a game.
I mean, I think he's going to get fired. I think everyone we've mentioned so far, I mean, Cutter maybe has a chance.
Of course, he went 1-15 last year, and he might go 1-15 again this year. Like, he has to be fired.
Yeah, he's a really good offensive coordinator who maybe got overpromoted one level. He's gone. Bye, Hugh.
They're going to lose Detroit this week. Nothing to discuss there. Number 27, your coach, a big riser. He was 31 in the preseason, and maybe I'm too low at him at 27, Todd Bowles.
Yeah, I do think, people have been saying, hey, Bowles should be like 20 or something on this list, and I don't disagree. His basement is pretty low. Like, he makes some bad decisions still. If they're ever like a relevant team, their sort of late game management is bottom of the barrel. But To get this team motivated, I mean, he's been one of the 10 best coaches in the league this year, right? Like, to get a team that was actively trying to lose to 4-5 and like one of the best 4-5s in the league, right? Like, they lost three. They don't have a lot of close wins. They have three heartbreaking losses, where they blew huge fourth quarter leads. So, as the drunk guys were saying when I left the Jet game on Thursday night, the Jets are going to be should have been 7-2.
Yeah, but doesn't that mean he's a bad coach because he's going against what management wanted this season?
I mean, he's not following his directive. He should be losing on purpose.
Yeah, he's failing at failing. So, yeah, that's not good. By the way, Micah still does not believe him. He has him down to number 30, but that's crazy. You can't give it to number 30 when he's gone.
Yeah, that's past hatred. No, listen, he almost beat you. Then what does that say about you? That means Belichick's probably 29. They're equal.
Yeah. All right, Mike Mularkey, I have next at 26. Tennessee's another team everybody was high on in the preseason. You know, their record is actually, they're 5-3 and they're about to be 6-3, but they've been very underperformed.
Yeah, I I've never seen anything from Mike Mularkey that's like, oh, that's impressive.
Yeah. No, I agree. Mike Clark has him all the way to number 19, but yeah, that's a mistake. I really don't have a lot to say about him. Number 25, I have Doug Marrone. Jacksonville's been much better than expected this year, obviously.
Yeah, this is rough. I think you look back.
And also, to be fair, like, he was very good in Buffalo that one year.
Very good in Buffalo. Yeah. I think, like, he's a gruff personality who's probably going to, he's like a poor man's Harbaugh, is going to wear out his welcome pretty quickly. I think he's a good coach. I think he's at least a league average coach to me. At least.
Yeah.
I think you're too high on him.
Yeah, I mean, and I see Mike has him on there, number 12. It's just that, first of all, he made the terrible decision to leave the Bills. Then he couldn't get a job for years.
Yeah.
And Jacksonville was not good. Again, so far they're good this year. So we'll wait and see. And maybe I'm wrong about him. But I don't like you like to jump to conclusions. I know you were all in on Dan Quinn, five games.
But I like Marrone. Marrone was a very good coach for Buffalo. And, he left.
There's no way you had Marrone higher than the mid-20s in the preseason, though.
I don't remember. But to me, he's a coach of the year candidate. I mean, as you said, Peterson's going to win it. But if there was a top five, he'd be in there. He's doing a good job.
All right. So maybe I'm wrong on him. We'll see. Number 24, I have Jim Caldwell. We love to make fun of Jim Caldwell, but
he's fine. Jim Caldwell should be like 16 or 17. He is a league average coach to me, Jim Caldwell.
Okay, but last year you had him like 30.
I mean, but you look at his body of work, it's like, oh man, this guy's won a ton of games. He has a winning record in his career. Like, he wins. Like, yeah, he doesn't inspire a lot of people, but he's not a bad coach. The Lions are, as relevant as they've been basically in a long time. It's Stafford's a good player, but it's not like that team is stacked with superstars. Like, everyone in the world is, and Theo Riddick and Amir Abdullah. They're not like,
well, they're, I think that, I don't know. And he's an offensive guy, so I don't know if he gets credit, but their defense, which I think DVOA was like 30th last year, is like third right now. Like, their defense is just completely reversed themselves.
This is a good team. This is like a very typical sixth seed of the playoffs type team.
Yeah. I think they're a 7-9 team. And I think they pull wins out of their ass every year.
A good sign for him, maybe. Maybe he's helping them.
After they beat the Packers on Monday night, every single idiot on ESPN was saying, oh, they're definitely going to win the division, even though they're two games back of the Vikings because, they have a better quarterback. Like, please slow your roll with the Lions.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't believe in them at all. All right, number 23, I have Kyle Shanahan, which is exactly where Mike Clark has him. Rookie coach, a little bit hard to say. They obviously haven't won anything yet. I mean, they literally haven't won a single game yet, so...
Yeah, I give him
he's incomplete. Yeah,
yeah,
but like, you have to win a single game to be higher than 23. I had him 21 in the preseason.
Yeah, but I would still hire. Like, I still think he's a good coach. I think long term he will be good.
Yeah, well, we'll have to wait and see. All right, number 22, a riser. I had him 29 in the preseason because I used to like John Fox in Denver, and I liked him when he first came to Chicago. But it seemed at the beginning of this year like he just didn't care. Like, he was sort of Jay Cutlering it. He was on the way out the door. But the Bears become passable. And here's a hot take for me. My prediction for this division is, in fact, let's go further. By week 14, every team in this division will be 7-6 or 6-7.
Okay.
I think the Bears will be a game out of the playoffs with a couple weeks to go in the season.
That would be, a wild ride.
Yeah. And part of that is, you know, even though the Vikings are 6-2, I think that some comeuppance is coming, unless Teddy Bridgewater can come back and be good again, not having touched.
Who do you want to be do you want Bridgewater to play this week?
I mean, it's just, he hasn't touched the football in a year and a half, you know?
Uh-huh.
He's touched football, but he hasn't gone against a live defense.
But how is that going to change next week if he gets a few snaps in practice?
Well, that's the problem. You need a preseason to work him in. The middle of a playoff race is not the time. But we have seen Case Keenum's ceiling. Case Keenum has performed extraordinarily well. Statistically, he's been a top 10 quarterback this year, but he's not that. And he's done it against crappy defenses. They're not going to win the Super Bowl. But you're not going to win a Super Bowl with Case Keenum.
Right.
So it just, Bradford's officially done. He played one game this year. He looked like the best guy in the world in week one and then never played again. So congratulations. And I don't know. I want it to be Bridgewater, but I don't know realistically how it can be. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I wish Bridgewater had been healthy 2 or 3 weeks earlier so he could get some practicing against the Browns of the world.
Right.
Yeah, their next 5 weeks, there are 4 of them are on the road and they're playing five playoff contenders.
I mean, you have to think the next time Keenum has a bad game, Bridgewater's coming in.
Yeah, I mean, they want Bridgewater to be the quarterback, obviously. So my hope is that he is the quarterback soon, but I just, you know, I hope he can do it. But yeah, so what were we talking about? So we're talking about John Fox. Yeah, so we're talking about John Fox. The Bears have been better than expected. Their offense throws the ball 8 times a game, but, you know, they're covering up for Mitch Trubisky, who is not good. And so, you know, John Fox, I have a 22. I give him a little bit of respect.
22? Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. All right. By the way, they're playing the Packers this week at home, and I think the Bears are going to win. I mean, the Packers are in free fall right now.
I mean, yeah, the Packers are done. They put a fork in them. They are toast.
All right. So you're picking the Bears as well.
Yeah, of course. Definitely.
All right. Number 21, another rookie coach, Vance Joseph for the Broncos. The Broncos started out really hot. You picked him as a possible Super Bowl contender when we made that one bet where you took 5 teams. Osweiler looked good for 2 games and then completely fell apart. They have no quarterback either. They've gone from Simeon looked good and they went from him to Osweiler. They're going to go to Paxton Lynch as soon as he's healthy, I assume.
Uh-huh.
Sort of like the Vikings with Teddy B, I guess. But we don't know if Paxton Lynch is anything. And, you know, this defense has also fallen apart the last few weeks.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I mean, 51 points is crazy. You know, Vance Joseph, I was down on the hire, and, you know, he's not getting canned, but I don't, this is not ideal.
Me and Mike both have been exactly 21. We haven't seen enough to make a decision either way, is my feeling here.
Yeah. I don't know. I need more, but I'm very nervous about Vance Joseph.
This week, in the beginning of the year, I actually predicted that week 10 would be the Patriots' first loss. They would go into Denver and lose. I've flip-flopped on that one. I think the Patriots are going to win this week.
But the Patriots lose this week? No, I don't think so.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Number 20 on my list, Anthony Lynn, another rookie coach. To me, and I see Mike's a little lower on him, he has him at 24. I had him at 20 in the preseason, so I haven't moved him. But I think that Anthony Lynn has to get some credit because he's in an incredibly difficult situation. This team essentially is playing 16 road games. And he has him 3-5, and if he had a competent kicker, they could be 5-3 or, you know, maybe even better.
Yeah, no, he's done a very good job. I think this team is, you know, they lost so many close games, and they fought back. I think you have to be at least, you know, mildly optimistic about Anthony Lynn.
All right, so you're much higher on Lynn than you are on Joseph among the rookies, and Shanahan.
Yes.
All right, and we got a couple more rookies to come, obviously. All right, this week, by the way, the Chargers at Jacksonville. That's a great game. I think this is going to be a really close game. I would take the points, but I think Jacksonville's going to win.
Where's the game in Jacksonville? Not that it really matters.
Yeah, not that it matters for either team.
I'm going to take the Chargers, but this is actually a really good game. Very underrated game.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's our third disagreement of the week, so that's good. And number 19 is Sean McDermott for Buffalo. I had him 25 in the preseason, so he's definitely taking a jump up because the Bills have taken a jump up. I need to see more from him. I see Mike Clark's all the way in. He has him at number 13 already. McDermott, you know, looks like he could be a decent coach, but hard to tell this point.
I like McDermott. I think this is one of the better, you know, vintage Bills teams.
Yeah. Although, I mean, as we say, every year the Bills are above 500, you know, at some point in November and they miss the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's see. Yeah. If he does it, then he's, you know, he's a hero in Buffalo.
All right. And let's talk about the game this week. And actually, let's talk about the line for this game. So this to me is crazy. The Saints have been the most overhyped team by Vegas every single week lately. And by the way, maybe Vegas is right and I'm wrong because they've been covering their spreads. But they were favored in Green Bay the first week that Rodgers was out before everybody realized how bad Green Bay was.
Okay.
Then the next week, they were favored by 8 against Chicago, which I thought was too much. And they covered that. And then last week, they were favored by 7 against Tampa, which I thought were two pretty similar teams. And then, you know, once again, I was wrong. And this week, they're going into Buffalo. Buffalo, who's been, you know, one of the better teams in the league, frankly, you know, they're only 5-3, but they were 5-2 before they lost to your Jets last week. And New Orleans is favored in Buffalo. Isn't that crazy?
I think we're sleeping on New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean, they've won six in a row, so I
honestly bet on them. You know who has the best point differential in the NFL?
Is it still Jacksonville?
No, the Rams are one.
Oh, the Eagles, obviously. Oh, the Rams. Oh, I forgot about them, yeah.
The Rams are one, the Eagles are two, the Jaguars are three.
Yeah, okay.
But number four is the Saints. I mean, they're a good team.
Yeah. I mean, they got blown up by the Vikings in week one, although I think they got garbage points to look closer. And they got blown up by the Patriots in week two.
Yeah. And they've been great basically since. They're 16.
Yeah. Since then, they've been really good. Their defense, which, you know, again, Sam Bradford made them look like, you know, JV. And they've got, all of a sudden, they have a good pass defense. So I'm not sure how that happened. Yeah. And we'll get to their coach.
I just think, I think people are sleeping on the Saints. I don't know how, like, you know, I've been starting their, like, it shocked me, but I've been starting their defense in the league I'm in that has defense special teams.
And, yeah.
They've been dominant.
Yeah. All right. So they're going into Buffalo. I picked against them every week and been wrong, but I'm picking Buffalo this week.
I was just so unimpressed with the Bills last week. It might have just been one bad game, but their offensive line is problematic right now. Yeah. I'm going with New Orleans. I'm going with New Orleans going into Buffalo and winning.
Yeah. 7-0 for New Orleans. All right. Wow. All right. Number 18, Adam Gase. You love Adam Gase traditionally. You know, I thought he was decent. I had him 13 in the preseason. I've moved him down a bit. I see Mike Clark has him 14. The Dolphins, they're a very schizophrenic team, obviously. They went into Atlanta and won, which is one of the weirder outcomes we've seen this year.
Yeah.
But then they get blown out by teams left and right, so.
Yeah, they have a lot of weird results. I still think Moore is at least as good as Jay Cutler, but, you know, he has the one.
Yeah, they're very, for a 500 team, they're extraordinarily unimpressive.
I mean.
And also, Gase has to be blamed a little because he's the one who threw all his eggs in the Jay Cutler basket. Like, I understand he lost quarterback Tannehill in the preseason.
What was he supposed to do?
Nobody forced him to take Cutler.
Well, I mean, other than Kaepernick, let's not talk about that. Like, what was he supposed to do?
But the point is that he claimed to be like the special Jay Cutler whisperer.
Yeah, but I mean, again, like, there were there other choices? Like, all these clowns that are coming out now, like Josh Johnson and Matt McGloin.
Yeah, so are you still like Gase, or what's your take on Gase at this point?
Yeah, I like Gase. I think this is a troubling year, but, you know, I to me, I'm still up on Gase. I think you bring Tannehill back next year, I think they'll be okay.
All right, and they're going at Carolina this week, Monday night. They're going to lose that, though, right?
Yeah, they should. I mean, again, they beat Atlanta. Carolina's, yeah, they're going to, yeah, I'm picking Carolina, but not exactly a lock to me.
Yeah. All right, number 17, Bill O'Brien. I still think that what he did with his quarterback situation, he should have been fired on the spot for that. A, to have concluded based on everything he saw in the preseason and in training camp and summer workouts and everything that Tom Savage was better than Deshaun Watson. And then B, having made that wrong decision, but that's the decision he made to reverse himself based on like 15 snaps in the first quarter of the first game. All the way around, complete disaster. All of a sudden, his season, of course, is ruined now that Deshaun Watson's out anyway. Bill O'Brien's supposed to be a quarterbacks guy, and he looked at Deshaun Watson and Tom Savage and thought Savage was better. So to me, I'm not impressive about that. But you know, he's won this division, made the playoffs a couple of times. So I'm at 17. Whatever. A shrug.
Okay.
All right, so you got no takes at all about Houston.
Yeah, 17 sounds right.
Houston at the Rams this week, by the way, that's like an 11.5 point spread, which is kind of crazy.
I know this would have been such a cool game with Deshaun Watson. Yeah. This would have been one of the big games of the year, I think.
Great game.
It's really depressing that Watson's gone.
Yeah. It's sad. The Rams are going to win this game.
Has anybody gone from like, DeAndre Hopkins, like at least like you could pray because he's so good. Has anybody gone from like a solid fantasy player to like beyond irrelevant faster than Will Fuller the second Watson got hurt?
Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, but like Nelson, listen, Nelson's performed probably, you know, like can perform with a backup. Like Fuller has no chance. Like Fuller's whole thing was like run 60 yards and try and catch.
Because he only had like 10 catches, just 8 of them are touchdowns. So yeah.
Right, like Nelson might get like 12 targets. He's just not going to do anything.
Yeah, well, Fuller should be dropped immediately. I agree. All right, number 16, Jay Gruden. Washington sort of hanging around this playoff race.
Hanging around, I think they're having a very average year. The fact that they haven't totally cratered with Sean McVay, who's apparently like the greatest coach in NFL history, is a good sign.
Yeah, they're playing the Vikings this week at home. This is obviously a must win for Washington. They're 4-4.
Yeah, I like Minnesota here.
Yeah, I'm going to pick the Vikings. I'm going to pick Washington.
A good game. There's some good games this week. It's actually a pretty good schedule. Last week was a garbage schedule.
Yeah, this is the fifth disagreement we have where I'm taking the home team, you're taking the road team. But I hope I'm wrong.
Not
obviously.
A great sign for me, straight up.
Yeah, I'm not taking the Vikings. The thing is, like, we've seen, look, they've won all these games in a row, but they've been winning them against crappy teams. Who did they beat? They beat Baltimore. They beat Cleveland. They beat a Rodgers-less Packers team. They beat the Bears. That's their four-game winning streak against those four awful teams.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, not a lot of confidence there. All right, that's Washington. Number 15, Mike McCarthy. I've never liked Mike McCarthy in terms of his game decisions, obviously. What we've always said about him as well, you know, he must be doing something coaching him up, you know, during the week. Sort of a poor man's Andy Reid in a lot of ways. His decisions at the quarterback position behind Aaron Rodgers have been very curious. The fact that he's trotting out, you know, Brett Hundley is just an indictment of him. It's really crazy.
They trot out.
Well, this is a perfect team for Kaepernick, frankly. Right? I mean,
yeah,
but the only argument against Kaepernick...
The people of Wisconsin are frothing at the mouth for Colin Kaepernick, as you know.
Yeah, well, the only argument I can think of is that the Packers know that notwithstanding the fact that Rodgers is saying he might come back, they know there is zero chance of him coming back in January, even if they make the playoffs.
Right. No, if they make the playoffs, I think he might come back. The problem is that there's no chance of
him
coming back.
No, see, I'm arguing the opposite. If he could come back in the playoffs, then they would have then they need to get Kaepernick because they need somebody who can scratch their way into a playoff. Because again, I think 9-7 can win this division.
No, they didn't even consider, these teams aren't even considering Kaepernick.
Well, then why? Then that's what's crazy then.
They're not even considering him.
Yeah, well, then it's time for Boston to succeed.
Other than the Ravens are the only team to have even given it a thought.
But that's crazy is what I'm saying.
And almost every team basically has had a quarterback issue this year where they would consider it.
Yeah, it's really ridiculous.
If Case Keenum went down this week and then you had both guys on IR, your team wouldn't consider Kaepernick.
Well, Teddy B supposedly coming back.
And don't they have a young guy they like also behind him?
Yeah, the guy who was, yeah, the Broncos guy who was really good in the preseason.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you guys, there's just no team that's he's never,
yeah.
I mean, I'd say he's never getting signed. Like, he's never going to
play.
Well,
once he filed that lawsuit, for sure he's never getting signed.
He's never getting signed again.
Yeah. That was the final decision. And I think he did that because he realized, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I'm very unimpressed with Mike McCarthy, but you know, whatever. There's a lot of bad coaches, so he's 15. All right, number 14, Jack Del Rio. People have been discussing that he might get fired. I had him 8 in the preseason. He was a pretty good coach for Jacksonville. He was the last time Jacksonville was relevant, he was their coach. And then he came to Oakland and turned around another moribund franchise. So that's why I kind of like Del Rio, even though he's had some wacky things he says online. You know, like I think he's like into anti-vaxxing and like that stupid scandal about Rich, you know, the DNC guy was killed. Uh-huh. So Jack Del Rio might not be the sharpest tool in the shed, but I thought he was a good football coach. But now I'm having second thoughts because Oakland has been a real letdown this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not down on Del Rio just because they've had some weird weeks. But this is a playoff team that you might not make the playoffs. Like, this is a weird season for the Raiders.
Yeah. I mean, they're 4-5, and frankly, they're lucky to be 4-5 because a couple of those could have been losses.
Yeah, I mean, this is a disastrous year. Like, they've had guys fall off the map. Some weeks it looks like Crabtree and Cooper can't catch a pass. They're dropping everything. It's weird.
Well, I mean, it's not some weeks. Cooper now 3 years in a row. He's had the most drops in the NFL since he came into the league.
Yeah, listen, there's a certain type of guy who is amazing getting open, but, you know, he doesn't have good hands. And it's like a rare type of thing, but that Cooper seems to be that guy.
Yeah. I mean, could Del
Rio
Brandon
Marshall was like that a little bit. Like, Brandon Marshall is as good as anybody in, you know, the last 20 years of getting open, but you know doesn't necessarily make every catch.
Yeah. Do you think there's any chance Del Rio gets fired?
No, definitely not. I mean, if they go 4-12, but no, he's not getting fired.
Oh wow. Okay. All right. Number 13. Another guy who's dropped 6 spots from my preseason ranking, Bruce Arians. The bloom is off the rose a little bit with Arians. I think now I see Mike Clark has him all the way down at number 22, so he really doesn't believe in him. Arizona is another big underwhelming team, second year in a row. I mean, last year they thought they were a Super Bowl contender and they crashed and burned.
I mean, listen, they're a very old team, and you shouldn't be winning with Drew Stanton. So, you know,
but they were losing before Drew Stanton came into the picture.
Yeah, but again, Carson Palmer
we talked about the Dolphins. They are the worst 4-4 team in the league. Their wins have been incredibly unimpressive.
Yeah, no, this team is not good. They need to rebuild, the Cardinals.
Any chance they can upset Seattle on Thursday night?
No.
All right, number 12, Doug Peterson. Again, you thought he was going to be fired this year. He's going to be the coach of the year. I had him 19 in the preseason, so I sort of thought he was middle of the pack, and I moved him up a little bit. Probably 12 is too low given what he's done this year, but I want to see more than 1 year of track record.
Yeah, I agree. I'm fine with him. You know, somewhere right outside the teens.
Yeah. By the way, Mike Clark has been number 5, so he's all the way in.
I mean, okay, so we're being it's a little bit. What have you done for me lately?
I don't listen to the Mike Lombardi podcast, obviously, because I don't want my ears to bleed. Mm. But what is Lombardi saying about Peterson lately? Do we have any idea?
Yeah, I'm sure. I have no idea, but I am sure it's. Yeah, because I think Simmons mentioned it last week. I'm sure
he's finding a way to give credit to everybody but the coach or something like that.
No question. I'm sure he's just because he was right about one and wrong about the other because McAdoo's been a disaster. So I'm sure he's focusing on McAdoo and not.
But he hated them both equally, and so
he's not.
Actually, he hated Peterson more than he hated McAdoo.
Yes,
McAdoo. He just said had too many plays. Peterson. He just hated everything about Peterson.
Yeah, he just detests him.
Yeah. All right. Number 11. Is one of the longest standing veteran coaches in the league. When we forgot to draft him in our draft, everybody thought that we made a big mistake. Sean Payton, in hindsight, it was a good thing we didn't take him because he's had a renaissance. The Saints had a renaissance.
Yeah, no, it was literally an oversight. Like I think we both thought the other person took Payton and we forgot.
Yeah.
But yeah, no.
But it worked out to our benefit.
Yeah. I mean, at a certain point, I do think maybe Payton should cut his losses and go like find another team.
Yeah, but that's what we said before. But he's just won 6 games in a row. So how do you say that now?
Well, yeah, he sell high on Breeze, who's a million years old, is what I'm saying.
I mean, it's just, well, why are they better all of a sudden? I mean, well, the answer is very simple, because they had the worst defense in the league, and all of a sudden they have a good defense. But that's credit for Dennis Allen, right?
Yes. No, Dennis Allen's basically the assistant coach of the year.
Yeah. Has Peyton done anything differently, or it's just Dennis Allen, basically?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Hard to say. All right. I have Peyton at number 9, or excuse me, at number 11. You think that's okay?
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's pretty reasonable. He's, you know.
All right, number 10 is another coach you had on your fire list. That's Jason Garrett. I think that Jason Garrett he's been around a while. And the bottom line is that they've been, you know, not in the playoffs, but they've been a fairly successful team. And with all the crap coaches in this league, I think that he's the 10th best coach, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, it's so weird. The Cowboys, I feel like, are the exact same team every year. Like this, the Cowboys are going to have a loss in the playoffs this year. So devastating. It's going to like set their entire state of Texas back 5 years. I'm calling it already.
Yeah, I mean, what, you feel bad for them? They won all the Super Bowls in the 90s.
I mean, again, they're not even in the playoffs, I think, if they ended today. But they're, you know, it's certainly in the fight for the wild card.
Yeah, well, they're 5-3. But yeah, the thing is, they're not really going to catch Philly. Although they haven't lost a game in the division yet, so in theory they could.
No, they're 3 games back. They're not catching Philly.
Well, if they beat Philly twice.
They're not catching Philly.
Yeah, I mean.
Literally, if they beat Philly twice, they're still behind them. It's not going to happen.
No. All right, they're going to Atlanta this week. This is the only game I think we haven't picked yet. I'm going to pick Atlanta to win. This should be a really good game, though.
Yeah, no, Dallas-Atlanta is a really good game. Heartbreaker, Atlanta wins.
Yeah, all right, and that's good because that means we have 5 disagreements, so we're guaranteed not to have a tie, which is good because we've had a couple of ties lately. So Jason Garrett, number 10. Number 9 has moved at all since the preseason, I see. And Mike Clark has a number 10 also, but he's really been cruising on his reputation for quite a while now. That's John Harbaugh.
Oh, I thought you meant Michael Clark's been cruising on his reputation.
Yeah.
I know. I do think, yeah, I agree. Harbaugh, show me something, Harbaugh. But this team stinks. I don't know what he should do with this team. This team shouldn't be good.
All right. So you're giving no blame to John Harbaugh for Baltimore.
I mean, I guess he could do
Baltimore,
better.
By the way, yet another unbelievably bad 4-4 team.
Yeah, they stink. Baltimore stink.
4-5, but yeah.
I think the Jets might be better than Baltimore.
Yeah, oh, I think they are. I agree. All right. Number 8 is Ron Rivera. Carolina, everybody's sort of been down on Carolina this year. And Cam Newton obviously has, you know, 10 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. But, you know, Carolina's still 6-3 somehow.
Carolina's, to me, is such a hard team to call. Like every week they look like a totally different franchise.
But you look at Rivera. He started, you know, he was a very conservative coach. Then he became Riverboat Ron. Now he's sort of treading towards conservative again, which is a little bit of a concern, I think.
I would say it is a concern. Yeah. But I just don't know. Every week, this team is the Benjamin trade to me is so weird.
Was Rivera involved in that decision? Cam Newton did not seem to like it.
No, I mean, why would he like it? Yeah, Devin Funchess.
He compared his team to the Titanic in a positive way.
I mean, the only good sign is that Christian McCaffrey looked like an NFL player last week for the first time, basically.
Yeah, well, John Stewart is so bad that they need somebody at the running back position.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that this is another team that's, you know, gonna you know, choke in a playoff game.
All right, going to be a lot of choking posts. All right, number 7 is a rookie coach and another contender for Coach of the Year. If Peterson doesn't get it, that's Sean McVay.
I mean, you almost like it's almost hard not to have him at 2, basically.
It's crazy that he's 31 years old.
Yeah, we're much older than him.
Yeah. So we're half the players in the league. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. This could end up being one of the great coaching jobs of all time. Like, could the Super Bowl, at the end of the day, could the Super Bowl be the Rams or the Jaguars? Is that possible?
No.
Could the Rams Jaguars be the Super Bowl this year?
I mean, that would be so bad, honestly.
Rams Steelers.
Yeah.
What about Rams Patriots? Like an old school Rams Patriots Super Bowl.
Here's my thing about Sean. Yeah. Sean McVay's 31 and he's a head coach. If he doesn't burn out, and I'm sure he will because it's such an intense job. You're working, you know.
Yeah, plus you make so much money like nowadays. Yeah. Like he's going to make it.
But he's so young that if he was good, he could shatter every record because he could be a coach for 40 years.
Yeah, I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves. he's replay this after he gets fired after they go like 2-14 the next 2 years. But yeah, this is amazing.
All right, so you would have Sean McVay even higher than 7.
Yeah, I still think Jared Goff sucks, by the way. I think with any other coach, he'd still be like, you know, have like 4 touchdowns.
So you didn't do a ranking, but where would you put McVay?
Yeah, this is just remarkable. Like they've gone from 14 points to 32 points with the exact same team. Like they added Sammy Watkins, who they don't pass the ball to. Like it's the exact same team.
Well, it's sort of like when Jim Harbaugh came into San Francisco and immediately turned that team around.
Yeah, to me, it's like if you don't put him at 2, like it's, you know.
So you would put him at 2. So you think he's coach of the year over Peterson, and you think he's the second best quarterback coach in the league already?
I'm not sure forever, but I just think like it's almost disrespectful to him to not have him at 2.
I mean, I have him at 7, and he's been a coach for 2 months. So.
Yeah, this is the greatest 2 months of basically any coach has ever had.
By the way, just highlights how bad Jeff Fisher is, I think, also.
No, going from Fisher, you know, this is an old Bill Simmons rule, but like just going from an awful coach to a mediocre one, that's like when teams go from 5-11 to 9-7 that first year.
Yeah.
And then like the Rex Ryans, the Todd Bowles, like they fall back to earth the next year, right?
Yeah.
But,
All right, number six is a guy that I had four in the preseason. You've always loved him. I see Mike Clark has him down to 15, which is surprising. Obviously, Atlanta's underwhelmed a little bit, but Dan Quinn has still been a good coach. His first year, his team starts 6-0. His second year takes him to the Super Bowl. So,
yeah, what's the record now?
They're 5-4, assuming that they beat the Cowboys this week. They're 4-4. It's another way of saying that.
4-4.
Yeah, they've been very underwhelming. They lost to Miami at home, which we said was one of the crazy records.
Yeah.
Here's the thing: I don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah. Well, listen, the teams that lose the Super Bowl almost never make the playoffs.
Well, okay, so let's talk about it right now. So you're getting one team out of the NFC North, probably the Vikings, right?
Yeah, the Vikings are going to win the North. The Eagles obviously already won the East.
I think the Cowboys are going to get to 10-6.
Well, that's the playoffs thing, because I think the Rams and Seahawks make it too. So that means the Panthers and the Falcons.
Yeah, so the Rams and Seahawks, are both going to have 11 wins, I think. And then Carolina and New Orleans are both going to have at least 10 wins.
Yeah.
I think a 10-win team is not going to make it in the NFC.
That would be wild. And that means Atlanta has no chance, basically.
Yeah, I think Atlanta's going to go 9-7. They're going to miss. And I think Dallas is going to go probably 10-6.
Well, the Green Bay loss, the truth is the NFC playoff race would have been absolutely crazy with Green Bay with a healthy Rodgers.
Yeah.
Because you would have had two teams in every division that were basically like, you know, have to make the playoffs.
And by the way, and we're not mentioning Detroit, who still could be good. We're not mentioning Washington, who still could be good.
Right. Detroit and Washington go on a run. To me, from 4-4, you're in big trouble right now, which is where Atlanta is.
Yeah.
Which was where, I mean, Arizona.
And by the way, it's so different in the AFC. In the AFC, like something like Baltimore or Buffalo.
Oh, yeah. The Cowboys would be in the playoffs already if they were in the AFC. Right. Right now, I think the Jaguars and the Bills have the wild cards with the Pats, Steelers, Titans. And Chiefs, or Titans, Jaguars are.
I've been telling you, the Ravens are a terrible team, but they're going to weasel in 9-7 in the 6-8.
Like, you know, who's the first team out of the playoffs in the AFC? The Dolphins at 4-4. They're the only 4-4 team.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. So there's going to be a bad team in the. I mean, last year the Dolphins were that team. They were a bad wild card team. There's going to be a bad wild card team in the AFC this year.
Yeah. Well, do you think the NFC is better than the AFC?
Yeah.
They look pretty similar. I don't know what the record against is.
Yeah. I mean, I think the NFC is better. I mean, the AFC is the Patriots and the Steelers, but. The NFC just has more depth. The 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 teams in the NFC are all better than like.
No, I agree. There's going to be some. Yeah, the 3, 6, 4, 5 games in the AFC playoffs might be pretty weak.
Yeah. All right.
Look at the Cowboys smacking around the Chiefs last week. Like, you take out the ludicrous Hail Mary.
The Chiefs were like the last undefeated team, and everybody was celebrating them, which the Vikings were last year. Like, the Chiefs might not be that great either. They might be a 9-7 team, frankly.
Uh huh. Yeah, but they're still probably going to win that division just because the Broncos have fallen apart.
Yeah, I think they're going to win the division, but yeah, I don't know how great chicks they are, Let's see what Cole Hogan has to say. All right, so I have Quinn at 6. Would you have him higher, lower? What do you think?
Yeah, about there. 6.
Mike Clark has him down at 15, so not impressed.
Yeah, no, listen, he's got 20 minutes on tape that he watches like every single night before he goes to sleep that show him why Quinn's so bad.
Yeah, that's true. All right, number 5, I have Andy Reid. I've always been on the Andy Reid. His clock management is terrible, but other than that, his teams win every year. So
yeah,
nothing else to say.
You're a Reid guy.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Clark has him number 2, so he's really a Reid guy. And he, by the way, you're talking about. You were talking about how Clark has benefited from Dan Quinn's bad decisions for the Falcons in the Super Bowl last year. How many times has Belichick beaten Reid? He beat him in a Super Bowl. He beat him in the playoffs last year. There's been more occasions than that, I think. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Clark is just influenced by Week 1 this year. I don't know. All right, number 4, I have my boy, Mike Zimmer. He's really the only coach I've ever liked for any of my teams my entire life.
Yeah, no, listen, I just every year there, you overachieved last year and then eventually just ran out of competent, bodies on your team. And I think they've done it again this year. I think, with Case Keenum, he's doing, like the impossible, basically.
Everybody seems to love him. He deserves better than to be the Vikings coach because he deserves to be a coach of a team that doesn't have, just this terrible luck. Like, if he could coach a team whose players all didn't drop dead, and lose all their CLs, their MCLs, and their ACLs, I think, he could have won a Super Bowl.
So I mean, this is the theme of the ceiling this year. Like, like you said, they're not going to be in the Super Bowl, but, he's definitely done a really good job.
Yeah. And by the way, he won't win it, obviously, because it's going to go to Peterson or McVay. But, I think that what he's done, he should be a Coach of the Year candidate. But,
okay, it's a tough year.
Anyway, all right, number three, and my top three are in the same order as they were in the preseason. And number three also for Mike Clark, I see Mike Tomlin. Every single year they get it done. Roethlisberger has taken a step back for sure, but this defense, and Tomlin's a defensive guy, this defense has taken a huge step forward for the second year in a row. I mean, 2 years ago they had a terrible defense. Last year I think they were like 10th in the league in DVOA, something like that. This year, they have a top 5 defense again.
Yeah, nothing really much to say about the Steelers, who I had in the Super Bowl, and I still think they probably, they're a 50-50 sort of, to me, they're like, you know, co-favorite with the Patriots right now to represent the AFC.
All right. So you have nothing to say. Now, number two, I have Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll has made a lot of bad decisions this year, but it's body work for me.
Like what decision? Watching loose change a few more times?
Like, well, did you watch the Washington game? I mean, the Washington game, he had like seven terrible decisions in that game alone.
Yeah,
is it possible, by the way, that two-point conversion, I haven't seen anybody discuss this, but that two-point conversion they went for at the end of the game, which made no sense, is it possible they did it just because they thought that Blair Walsh would miss the extra point?
Yeah, it's possible they had no faith in Walsh anymore. That is very possible.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's still – but then why haven't you brought another kicker?
Does that make you happy or sad watching Walsh, like, just destroy another team?
Of course I'm happy. What are you talking about? I take joy in his suffering because
yeah,
he was sad. Such an asshole. He was such an asshole to the Vikings after he missed that kick. And, by the way, my prediction from the beginning of the season still holds true. The Vikings are going to play Seattle in the second round of the playoffs, and Blair Walsh is going to hit a game-winning field goal.
Oh, it will be one of the true highlights of my life. It'll be better than your four-team trade.
You're such an asshole. But I still – look, Pete Carroll, he has the body work, so I have number two.
Okay. And Belichick won. Nothing to say.
Yeah.
We're on to next week's podcast.
All right. On to next week's podcast. Bye.
Bye.
I'm